folks here. We're going to get started real quick. Don't forget the youth conference. If you're going, the information is there. Brother Scott has to know tonight. I think there's 17 signed up and headed over that way. They leave about 8 in the morning from here, and they'll be back here around 10:30, possibly a little bit earlier. So if you're going and not signed up, last chance tonight. He's got to let them know tonight after church how many that's going. And you're welcome to, Brother Scott, I reckon they're welcome driving their sales up there too if they can't make it here, right? But you still need to know. Still need to know if you're going. So that's up at Starlight Baptist Church this Friday. This Friday. Don't forget, Sunday, we're leaving for camp. We're going to be in Acts 20. We're leaving for camp. We'll leave here right after the morning service. Headed up to Tallahassee. We'll have services with Gospel Light Baptist Church up there. And the next morning, get on over to Pensacola. All right, we're going to continue looking at following Christ and let Him make us fishers of men. Tonight is about our personal testimony and how we can use our testimony in sharing the gospel with folks. The Bible says in Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these are some things that I want to try to get across to us tonight. That we need to realize that every Christian has a personal testimony, which is a very powerful, powerful tool. As it allows people to see us as humans. Sometimes we're not careful. We try to present ourselves as angels. And we are not angels by no shape, form, or fashion. We are fallen, sinful men, women, boys, and girls that trusted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us. But we are yet still living in a body of flesh. And we can fall at any moment. There's pit holes and potholes, spiritually speaking, all about us that we can get ourselves in a world of trouble. We need to understand the key elements in our personal testimony and learn how to tell others that what Christ has done in your life. So these are some aims, some points, some things that I want to get across to you during this study tonight. That you don't have to tell every dark little dirty detail, but you need to allow them to understand that, hey, I'm a sinner. I was lost. I was headed in the wrong path. Tell as much as you feel free to tell and have liberty to do. Now, I can tell you in my own personal life that as God has opened the doors to share my testimony with others, the Holy Spirit of God does prompt me into some areas that are very personal. But I want them to know that God can get me from there to where I'm at today. It was not me getting myself here. And they may need to hear that. And you have to be willing to. Pastor, that's pretty embarrassing. Yeah, it is. There's some pretty embarrassing things, and to be honest with you, in my life, that I have done and been in and been involved in, and I'm not proud of them at all. But if my testimony of where I was and where God has brought me today will touch somebody's life that is messed up in that same area, I think we need to become all men, all things to all men, that we might win some. I'm not saying that you gloat in it. We don't gloat in that. We don't live in it in glorifying it. It's not glorified life. Where I was at, there was nothing glorifying to it about it at all. But where I'm at now, I'm a trophy of grace because of what God has done. Now, if your testimony is, and praise God for it, you were raised up in church, you never got around things of this world, you trusted Christ as a young person, God has kept you away from that, that is powerful. Don't be ashamed of that either. That is powerful. You do not have to go astray because this world is out there. You can love God and live holy, live right, live separate. But understand this, if you do find yourself like the prodigal son out there, that God always welcomes you back. Use that powerful testimony. Learn to give your personal testimony in a very clear, very simple terms that's very easily understood. Sometimes if we're not careful, we speak above and beyond somebody's understanding. We have to understand that most of the time when we speak to lost people, let me say this, unchurched people, people that have not been around religious sets and organizations and denominations and been raised up in church, they have no clue of what you're actually talking about. So don't talk so that they cannot understand you. There's many times that I have been at a pastor's conference, to be honest with you, and had great men of God preaching, and I was thinking to myself, Lord, if some of my folks would have been here, they would have just been bored out of their mind because I had trouble understanding exactly the message that he was trying to get across. So we've got to be careful that we don't talk above and beyond folks, beyond their understanding of the situation. And so be very plain, very simple, very clear, and understand this. The other thing we need to understand is that it's the Lord that is guiding and directing us. He said, I'm going to go, and I'm going to send a comforter, and the comforter is going to guide you. And so we allow the Lord to guide us through our day-to-day path. And as He guides us through our day-to-day path, dear friend, He will bring across people that we will have opportunity to share our testimony with. And so in Luke chapter 24, verse 48. Brother Paul, what does that say? Luke 24, 48. The Lord Jesus had told us that we're going to be something in that verse.
And you are witnesses of these things.
Of these things. And what's the verse right above that say, Brother Jim? Right above it. 47.
And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.
Okay. You'll be witnesses of these things. Over in Acts 20:21, listen to what it says again. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That was the instructions they were given in Luke. Luke 24:48, that you'll be witnesses of these things. What's these things? You've got to go back up, figure it out, these things. And it tells us there in verse 47, in Acts 20:21, what do we find them testifying about? Then you study the life of Paul as he gave his as he began his journey with Jesus as his Savior. When he had opportunity, it was always, almost every time, back to the road of Damascus where he met the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave witness of these things. And so that's what we need to do. We need to understand to speak to others about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are, if we're not careful, let me put it this way, if we're not careful, we almost become a robot. We got to hide the Scripture in our hearts. We got to memorize Scripture. We got to have those hidden down inside of us. But if we're not careful, we go down the same little thing of applying. When it should be witnessing of these things. And what are we doing? We're witnessing of the fact from the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sinless. He was born of a virgin. He lived a wonderful, godly, humble life without sin, doing good, coming about trying to be minister and bring redemption to others, took to the cross. He died on the cross of Calvary, a shameful death. I mean, very shameful. He was buried, and according to Scripture, he rose again on the third day. And so as we witness of these things, we have to understand that we are talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ and not just a plan. Because sometimes that's what we do. We just want to talk about the plan. We almost become... I remember when I was in the Army. And we had, back then, we still had door-to-door salesmen. They would come, but they preyed upon military people, especially young privates and E3s and stuff. And they would show up, boy, they want to sell you all kinds. Boy, they had it down pat. I mean, they had the plan. And that's all they talked about, the plan. And when they left there, I knew the plan. And when I got involved in some of that stuff, I had no idea what I got involved in. But I knew the plan. Sometimes we're so stuck on the plan that we forget the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now listen, when you're witness of these things, and the tool that I'm talking about is your personal testimony, that means my life before I received Christ as my personal Lord and Savior and what Christ has done for me after I have received the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Isaiah 53, verse 6. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. The Bible tells us we're going in a direction. Brother Scott, what's Isaiah 53, 6 tell us? That's the direction we were all headed. All we, like sheep, were going astray. We were headed in a direction. And that direction was opposite, completely opposite of God. We had gone astray, and we were lost. The lost needs Christ because they are sinners by nature. We're sinners by birth. We're sinners and separated from God because of our own personal sin. You're not separated because of national sin. You're not separated because of a world sin. You're not separated because of a family sin. You are separated from God because of personal sin that you personally are responsible for. You see why the devil has tricked us into this day and age where nobody believes in personal responsibility anymore? Because if I'm not responsible for nothing, therefore I will not be responsible for my personal sin. Therefore, I'm okay. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. So these are all tricks and wiles of the devil. It talks about, the fiery darts of the devil. No responsibility, no personal responsibility. That's why we have all this craziness going on in our schoolhouses now. And showing up over there. Nobody's responsible. I'm not responsible for my actions. That's why we have Christians that are not doing right by God and living right by God and spending time in prayer with God and calling out to God because I'm not personally responsible to do that. Matter of fact, that's the Sunday school teacher's job. Have you heard that? Well, why don't you maybe go out and witness? Talk to somebody. That's the deacon's job. That's pastor's job. It's spilled over into our churches. Personal responsibility. So we are personally responsible for the Lord Jesus Christ because all we, like sheep, have gone astray. All we. Every last one of us. So when I use this tool, I go back and I show the person, hey, this is where I was at, going astray. But when I met Christ, the Lord of my life, the Savior of my soul, the hope of my, the anchor of my soul, when I met as my personal Lord and Savior, my direction changed. People get all crazy about this word repentance. It's a change of direction. I was going astray. I was confronted with that going astray and the transgression of God's law, and I turned myself to Christ. What does it say in Acts chapter number 20, verse 21? Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, what did it say toward God? Repentance. Why? Because I was going astray toward God. I turn again. I turn to God. I make a turn. My direction is changed. Now, we don't have to make this difficult at all. But as we talk to people and spend time with them, we use our life as a personal testimony that they may know that Jesus Christ loves them, loves sinners, and He wants to save them and help them to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. They need to know that. They need to know that you have confidence in your Savior. And the best way to do that is tell them where you were, what you are now, and who did it. It wasn't a 12-step. It wasn't a friendship group. It wasn't pen pals. It was Jesus Christ the righteous that made a difference in our lives. Yesterday, Brother Johnson, Brother Bill and I was able to go spend some time together and got to talk and spend time and share testimonies and about where we were and who we were and where we are now. And it's all about Jesus, isn't it, Brother Johnson? That's the one that's going to make a difference. And people need to know that. That is that powerful tool that I am talking about, that Jesus Christ the righteous saves. And what He's done in your life. Now, what else we need to do? What Christ means to me now that I am a Christian. You know, a lot of folks don't have much of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. Those folks that are around us, that spend time with us, that see us, they know what's important to us. They do. By what we talk about, what we spend time on, all of our energy, what we talk about, they know. Do they know that Jesus Christ and what He means to you personally? More than a Savior, dear friend. I saw a Bible study yesterday by Jedediah Smith, a youth pastor up in Missouri, St. Clair, Missouri. And it was on the Father. The Father. And his personal testimony about this, the greatest, he listed verse after verse about the Father. And he said, the greatest of all these is the verse, our Father, which art in heaven. Because it's just so personal. Is Jesus personal to you? Or is He just a person? You remember when He asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? Well, they say you're Elijah. They say that you're one of the prophets. He was just a person. And then He said, who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. It became personal. Is Christ personal to you? It shows. I mean, it really shows. Here we go. Kind of a little poem here. Not really, but a little big poem-like thing. It says, tell your story in public places. Be friendly and personable. In your first contact. Uh-oh. That's where it gets us most time, isn't it? You know that first impressions make the what? The lasting impression or greatest impression. Whatever that saying is. I forget. I don't even know how it goes, but as they see you in the very first minutes, are you an Eeyore? Are you Oscar the Grouch? Are you a child of the King? You got to be personable. You got to make that impression. Learn to turn the conversation that you're in to those spiritual things. And listen, never, ever, ever cause a bad scene when you're talking about Jesus. I mean, talk calm, talk quietly. You don't have to get all loud. You know how it is? This is how it's been going for decades here in America. The loudest one gets his way, don't it? You have to understand this. Everybody you talk to is not going to be in 100% agreement with you even sharing the gospel. How do you know that? From biblical examples. When Paul showed up, that many times he went to jail, got stoned and beat up, stake bitten, put in, you know. He said, I'm perplexed on the outside and on the inside. I'll be honest with you, there's times that even your brother in Christ may not see eye to eye with you. But just because you get louder than him doesn't mean or her that you are right. Don't get all loud and boisterous. Take the conversation as far as the Holy Spirit will lead. And here's the thing. We've got to learn to sow the seed. Say a verse every now and then in the conversation. Share the gospel. I mean, you'll be amazed. That's what the Bible says. Some water, some plant. You imagine you sow the seed about how good God is and how a verse that is just powerful to you. And you share that verse. And later on, they might not even take even interest in it. Brother James comes along. He shares a verse. And that sowing, that water, that sharing, that water, back and forth, back. Then all of a sudden, God moves in and brings the increase. You've got to use the Bible. Without the Word of God, dear friend, people will never know they're lost. They'll never know that there is a way out of that lost state. The Word of God is powerful. You've got to use Scripture. Share that verse and be sure that people are convicted of their sinful state that they are in. We've got to get to the point where they understand that there is a wage for the sin. They owe it. They got to be troubled that they have transgressed the holy and righteous God. I don't mean make them feel bad, you know, stomp on them and push them down. And this is the thing. Are you judging me? You're going to hear it. It's not about judging. That's why we start off with our testimony so that they see, oh, wow, he ain't always been holier than thou. He was kind of a bad guy, or she was kind of a bad girl years ago. God done did something great in their life. And as you see God begin to work in their heart, their lives, begin to draw to Christ, not to yourself. John said, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Encourage them to take that next step. Don't convince them, because a person convinced against their will is still yet unconvinced. Encourage them to make that choice. Now, Paul, he was there. Which one with it was it that y'all help me out? He's talking to one of those governors or kings or something, and the guy said, almost thou convinced me. Which one? Who was that? Agrippa? He didn't force him, but he encouraged him. Said, well, he didn't even. Not everybody's going to get saved. That's why it's not our job to do the saving, it's his job. And God uses these powerful things in our life that we have to. That we have been in, to bring us about that we can be witnesses of these things. Like it says in Luke chapter 24, verse 48. You need to determine in your heart that you're going to do more to be effective in the sharing of the gospel to those around us. You've got to make a determination. It's not natural, I'll be honest with you. Naturally, we're going astray. It's spiritual. This is a spiritual thing. And it's done in the Spirit, not by might, not by power, but by thy Spirit. Determined to be faithful at sharing Christ with those around you. I don't know a lot of verses. I don't know a lot. That's why the example is that powerful, powerful tool, your testimony. Who knows your testimony better than anybody? You. You know. Who knows where you are today and where you were? Now, maybe the thing is that there hasn't been a change since you made that profession. Could it be that there was never a possession? If you're not a new creature in Christ Jesus, maybe you need to talk to the Lord and see where you're at on that. If you're not saved, dear friend, Lord God, He loves you. He gave so much for you. There should be a difference in then and now. Well, I just got saved last month. Well, you're not going to have much of a change, but there will be change. Automatically, things begin to change. Why? Because we are going in a different direction. And the God of this universe now lives within us. Imagine what He did in 6 days with all the world. I mean, many of you have traveled. We got a family now over in England and France. They're traveling over there, taking pictures, showing all the tower, Eiffel Tower and all that. All that beauty over there, you know. And, you know, Brother Bill, I think y'all went to the Grand Canyon or something. Took a helicopter ride a couple of years ago. Some of you other ones have traveled and seen. I mean, you just drive, go out to the beach and look across at the ocean as it moves back and forth. Back and forth. All that done by the hand of God. What could He do in your life? Man, what amazing thing, the testimony that you have. You do have a testimony. Whether you're lost or saved, you've got one. So don't play around with it. Use it. Use it for what it is. Don't do like many of the ladies, because their husband won't do right and hang a picture frame up. They pull their shoe off and start banging on nails. That is not what your shoe is for. Your flip-flops, ladies, is not for the backside of your children. They are for to be under your feet, help you to walk. Your testimony has a use too. Use it for the right purpose. Use the tools that you have for the right purpose. Here's one. The Word of God and the truths are not stones to abuse people with, but truths to help them grow. If we use it for the right purpose, it does amazing things. Use your testimony for the right purpose, and it does tremendous things for those around us. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this evening. Lord, we ask you to protect us, keep us safe, we go about our way. Lord, as we close down upon the summer and begin to do our summer events and traveling and vacations and things that we'll do throughout the summer, God, I pray that you'd help us to be conscious of those around us. Help us to be mindful that you love folks and you died for them and you will save them. And they are those out there that do want to hear that Jesus saves. Find us faithful, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.